In the beginning of the parsha, we have the Arba Lashonos of Geula. Yeshiva is doing Arba Pesachim now. There's a stira in Rashi what the Arba Lashonos, what the Arba Kosos are neged. Rashi in the beginning of the Perek and Sayyid Testament Beis says the way we always understand it, though Tati Vitalti Vigalti Vilakhti. Rashi on Kuches Amud Aleph, in the memory of Amr Bishua ben Levi, Noshim Archayev Arba Kosos, Sha'athin Hayu Ba'osu Anes, Noshim Archayev Arba Kosos, Rashi there says, Can they get the Shlosha Kosos by Kosparo? In the Psukim, by the Sarah Mashkim, the Pasuk says, V'chos paro biyadi, that's one time coast. V'ekach es anovim v'eschal osam el coast paro, that's second coast. V'etin es a coast al kaf paro. So three kosos for that, and one for Birkas Hamazon. That's what Rashi says, the four kosos that we have on Leil Pesach are keneged. Stira and Rashi. What this has to do with Arba Kosos on Pesach, Mefarshim say, either because through this Maisa helps get Yosef out, so that's a form of Geula, or that this Chalom itself was a Basura for the Geula, so to us for... We'll have Arba Kosos connected to Geula. So what do you do with the Stira and Rashi? Yeah?
What's the Stira again?
Rashi in the beginning of the entire Tetzavu Bay says the Arba Kosos are connected to Arba Lashonos of Geula. Rashi in Kuv Chesma Aleph by Amar Rishu Ben Levi Noshim Chayobos by Arba Kosos Sha'afin Ha'yubi Oso Anes is negated the Pasuk in the end of Vayigash of the Shlosha Kosos of that are mentioned in that Pasuk by Mavayigash, I'm sorry, by the end of Vayeshev. It says Kos three times in the Pasuk of the Sar Mashkim, and the fourth one is for Rikas HaMuslim. So Lamaisa, what are Kosos Kenegan?
One she decides the four Shonas and one.
Four Shonas and Geula. One is these three by
Paro.
It's Stephen Rashi, yeah. By Tesla Obeys and Kuf Chesma Aleph.
The second reason is for what? The Brikas HaMazon?
The fourth coast is for Brikas HaMazon, and the three of that Pasuk. The truth is, it says coast one more time, not in that Pasuk. It says coast. When Yosef says the Pitron, he says, Venasata coast paro biyodo. It says coast one more time.
So the question is only on that last coast of Brikas HaMazon.
No question. The question is Stira and Rashi. Are the Arba Kosos of what's the Keneged? So there's a few Mahalchim. The MS Dikah Mahalich seems to be that this the Yerushalmi in Arba Pesachim brings the Machlokas of Yochanan and Rishu Ben Levi. What are the Arba Kosos Keneged? And is it Keneged to Arba? Is it Keneged to Arba Lashonos of Geula, or is it Keneged the Arba Kosos by Paro? The Rishu Ben Levi and the Yerushalmi is the one that says it's Keneged Arba Kosos of Paro. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the Morah Dishmaisa on the Chuf Chesam Aleph. He is the one that said the line of Noshim Rachayev Ba'arba Kosos Sha'afin Hayu Ba'oso Anes. Maybe that's why Rashi says, the Horlam say, maybe that's why Rashi says on Chuf Ches that the Arba Kosos are connected the Shlosha Kosos said by Paro, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi himself in the Yerushalmi says the same thing, that the Arba Kosos of Pesach are connected the Arba Kosos by Paro. In our Yerushalmi, the Girsa is truly connected four times, it says Kos, by the Sar Mashkim's Chalom. Pashtus is referring to the three times that the Sar Mashkim himself said it, and the one time that Yosef responded to it. Rashi must have had different Girsa, and held that the three of them are connected at the time the Sar Mashkim spoke, and one time for Birkas HaMazon. So since that's Shitas Rishu Ben Levi, that's why Rashi and Nafkov Ches, in Shitas Rishu Ben Levi, said that the Arba Kosos are connected, the Arba Kosos by Paro, whereas in the Mishnah he went according to the way the Medrash goes, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Arba Lashonos are connected to Arba Lashonos of Geula. The Rashbam, there's also a stira in the Rashbam. The Rashbam in the Mishnah, if you notice, the Rashbam had a different order for the Arba Lishonos of Geula. The Rashbam says the Arba Kosos are connected Vihotsesi, Vilakachti, and then he puts afterwards, Hotsesi Vigaalti, Vilakachti, Vihitsalti. Goes out of order. The pasuk is Hotsesi Vihitsalti, Vigaalti, Vilakachti. His order was Vihotsesi Vigaalti, Vilakachti, Vihitsalti. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in Emes Liakov says maybe since the second coast is on the restated bracha of Ga'al Yisrael, maybe that's why the Rashbam put the Ga'alti as the second coast. Although I don't understand how that answers it completely, because if the only one he wanted to change the order of would be the Ga'alti, it still should have been the Hotsesi, the Ga'alti, and then go back to the order, which would be Vihitsalti Vilakachti. Because Vihotsesi Vihitsalti Vigaalti Vilakachti. So Akachti should be last. Rashbam put Akachti third, and Hitsalti last. So different order, don't know why. The Rashbam in Baba Basra, Nunches Amud Beis, is talking about things that are four, and in it he mentions the Arba Kosos, and his Gersa there is he puts Veheveti in the count and takes out Vehitzalti. The Masorah Shashas jumps on the Rashbam and changes it to the regular order, but the Rashbam there has Veheveti in the minyan. So that would also be a stira from the Rashbam himself and to Rashbam and Baba Basra. In terms of why Veheveti Bepashas is not in the count, the different answers, the simple approach is that the Arba Lashonos are Arba Lashonos of Geula. The Hevesi is a Haftocha to Eretz Yisrael, but it's not a chelek of the actual Geula, Mitzrayim. The Kos Chamishi, which we don't drink, the Mishnah Berurah says, what's pshat, why is it called Koshel Eliyahu? It's called Koshel Eliyahu. Mishnah Berurah says, the same way that we had the Geula from Mitzrayim, so too, we want to be Nigal Od through the Besura of Eliyahu, through Eliyahu telling it to us. Mentioning it to us, letting us know that Mashiach is coming. That's why it's called Koshel Eliyahu, a reference to the Geula. The Gra says a different shot. The Gra says it's called Koshel Eliyahu because since it's a suffix in the Gemara about the fifth coast, so the same way that every suffix we say Teku Tishbi Yataritz Kushes V'Yibayos, so too Eliyahu HaNavi will let us know if this fifth cup should be drunk or not. So since the Tzavik will be inspired through Eliyahu, the Mela is called Koshel Eliyahu. Moving along in the Parsha, to get a little bit mathematical or technical for a little bit, the Psukim go through the Yichus of Moshe and Aaron. It says B'nai Ruvain, B'nai Shimon, Elish Mos B'nai Levi L'tod Osam, B'nai Gershon, B'nai Kahas. It says that B'nai Kahas, Amram Yitzhar V'chevron V'uziel, and Kahas lived 133 years. Goes through B'nai Merori. It says V'ikach Amram Es Yocheved Dodoso, B'nei Yitzhar, B'nei Uziel, V'ikach Aaron Salisheva, B'nei Korach, Melozer ben Aaron, V'chulei, Hu Aaron and Moshe. It mentions Kahas being 133 at the time of his death, Amram being 137 at the time of his death. There is a very interesting Targum Yonasan, a few Targum Yonasans here. So let's do the math. In Perek Vav, Pasuk, Tet Zion. It says Bnei Levi is Gershon Kahas Merari. Shnei Chaye Levi. So Levi lived 137 years. Zok the Targum. After it says the Pashup Shan the Pasuk, it says he was 137 years. Targum Yonasan, this is. Ad chomo yas Moshe v'yas Aaron. He lived 137 years until he was able to see Moshe and Aaron. Levi saw Moshe and Aaron. So, both for this and the next two ones I'm going to mention, much of it is in the Pirush Yonason, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a Pirush in Hakdama to Rambam and Yad. Hakdama and Yad, he also goes through much of this cheshbon. How is it possible that Moshe saw Levi? That Levi saw Moshe. The cheshbon should be as follows. Levi was 43 years old when he came down to Mitzrayim. Because, let's do the cheshbon. He says Yosef was 30 years old. Pasuk says Yosef was 30 when he stood in front of Paro. Then you had 7 years of Sova and 2 years of famine. So that would make Yosef 39 when everyone came down to Mitzrayim. Levi was 4 years older than Yosef because all the Shvatim were born in a 7 year period. So the Cheshbon, I don't know if it's Mefurish or just assume, but the Cheshbon is that you have Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, that's 3 years. So that's 3 years, so that would put Levi 4 years ahead of Yosef. That would make Levi 43 years old when he came down to Mitzrayim. Levi, it says here, died at 137 years old. Okay? So that means that he was in Mitzrayim for under 100 years. 137 minus 43 is 94. Is that right? Yes, 94. Also, Mefarshim always talk about how the Shibud began when Levi died, which was 94 years into Mitzrayim. Mefarshim say that all the time. Moshe, we know, was born how many years into Mitzrayim? 130, 210 years, and Moshe was 80 when he left. So if Levi died, Mefurish, he died when he was in 94th year and you read it to Mitzrayim, and Moshe was born in the 130th year, how could the Targum Yonatan say that Levi saw Moshe? And Aaron.
Aaron was 3 years old.
That won't help.
No, I know it does.
Yeah. So that's major question. So in Rav Chaim's Kuntres on this, he says that he asked the Chazon Ish, and he said that the Chazon Ish said that maybe the Targum was learning that the cheshbon of 137 of Levi was after he gave birth to his kids. I guess it would be read as follows. Ilish most ne Levi lo tadosam, gershon kasam umarari. And after that, shnei chaye Levi shevu shloshim ma'at shana.
137 more.
I'll read the Targum Yonatan inside. V'ilein shmas benoi de Levi liuch sehon. These are the kids of Levi. Gershon kasam umarari. U'shnei chaye de Levi ma'at u'shloshim shvashnen. Chayo ad de chomo. Okay, it was under 37 years until he saw, but it means after he gave birth. So you have to add on at least 36 years, and then the cheshbon would work out. And the Chazon Ish says this answer for the following two as well. Pasuk Yud Ches. The pasuk says
that they saw them, or they just were trying to get through cheshbon that he saw them. Either he did or he didn't.
The Targum says he saw them. I don't know where he got it from. Now we have to make sense of it. Okay. So we have to say Bedochak, that's the way that Targum read the pasuk, as 137 years was after he gave birth to his kids. That's the Chazon Ish's.
That's the way that he cheshboned it out, that he doesn't actually have a story that he saw each other.
Who? The Targum has.
The Targum,
yes? I'm the Sora. This is. You want to say it worked? I'm not sure if he's.
No, it could have been because first. He doesn't know how old Levi was when he finished giving birth to his kids. There's no way to know that. I want to know. You probably could figure it out. They probably do know.
I'm not sure. You're asking which one came first, the Mesorah or the Cheshbon. I'm not sure what was this heifer. In Pasuk Yud Ches,
how old was how many years after Moshe?
Moshe was born 130 years afterwards, because 130 and 80 is 210, and Levi died 94 years afterwards. Okay, so in Pasuk Yud Ches, it says that Kahas lived 133 years. Targum Yonason says, Ad de Chamo Ad de Chamo Yas Bnei Rechavia Bar Gershon Bar Moshe. So Kahas saw the sons of Rechavia, who are the sons of Gershom, who are the sons of Moshe. Okay?
This is who?
Kehath. Now, Kehath, the pasuk says, lived 133 years. Okay? And we know Kehath was from Yordei Mitzrayim. Mefurish and Vayigash, he's one of the ones that went down to Mitzrayim. Kehath. So let's say he was 1 year old when he came down to Mitzrayim. Okay? Because there's people born after him. Let's say he was 1 year old. And he died at 133. That would mean that he died 132 years into Mitzrayim. Correct? Oh, 133 minus 133. 132. I'm sorry?
Less than 133.
Yes. If he saw Pinchas... I'm sorry. I am reading... I read the wrong one completely.
Oh.
I was reading Pesachot. He saw... Sorry, let's go back. Kehath saw Pinchas, who Eliyahu Kahana... Also, the Mishnah of the Galusa, the Shoba Sofia Maya. Sorry, Targum in Pasuk Yud Ches says Kehath saw Pinchas. The same beginning Cheshman. He was 132 into Mitzrayim. Now, what about Pinchas? So we know Pinchas left Mitzrayim, correct? So how old would that make Pinchas when he left Mitzrayim? When he left Mitzrayim, if Kehath saw Pinchas, so you have to do 210 minus 132. Okay, 78. That would make Pinchas 78 when he left Mitzrayim. Who was Pinchas' grandfather? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. How old was Aaron when he left Mitzrayim? How old was Aaron when he left Mitzrayim? Close.
82.
No, 84. He was 83 when he met Paro.
Right, when it started.
The Makos took 1 year. That's 84.
What did you just say? 78
for Pinchas.
So six.
That means... 6 years
old
to have when Pinchas was born, his grandson.
Doesn't really make sense.
And Pinchas is not the Bechor of his Bechor. It's Ben Elazar. He had the Davin Avihu first. We've heard before Gemara and Sanhedrin that Bedoros HaRishonim, they gave birth at an early age, but we only find as early as giving birth at the age of 8, not at 3, which would be necessary for this. What? Oh. No. It's not going to help for him. The Gemara there in Sanhedrin says 8 is the minimum for a man in the Doros Rishonim.
The Cheshbon's messed up either way.
Right. Rav Chaim Pinevsky points out this is against a Medrash Rabbah that says that Elazar was 30 years old when the Mishkan was built. Because according to this Cheshbon, how old was Elazar when the Mishkan was built? 78, much older. 78 plus. 81 plus. 82, I guess. Not 30. Also, there's a Medrash that says, the Zohar says, that Nadav and Avihu were under 20 years old when they died. According to this, they were much, much older. Because, again, that happened in the Midbar. So they're at least 78 years old.
Because they both died in the Midbar.
Yeah.
Right.
So any... Medrash and Zohar that says that they were younger would be against this Cheshbon. So again, this would be very tamua, this Targum on the Sun. According to the Chazon Ish, I guess the Cheshbon would be that Kehath lived 133 years after he gave birth to Amram, Yitzhar, and Tefer and Uziel, which would make him, let's say, I'm going to throw out a number out there, 200 years old, in which case he could have seen Pinchas at a much later stage in Mitzrayim, and then all the cheshbonos would work out. That's the Chazon Ish's suggestion.
No, wait.
If the 133 of the pasuk is after later, that means
none of the Avihu were 20.
Yes.
When they died.
Yes. Under 20, it says.
And Elazar was younger.
Yes.
The none of the Avihu.
Yes.
So it means he would have had to have Pinchas.
Oh, no, a second. That medrash that says that Elazar was 30 at the time of the Mishkan does not work with the Zohar that says that Nadav and Avihu were under 20, and that the Rosh Hashanah and the medrash already points out. But in terms of... That's side. In terms of this Targum Yonasan, once he said the Chazon Ish, you're open to say that Kehath was much older and he saw them much later. Yes?
Okay.
The way we do this Cheshbonos are if Kahas saw Pinchas, Kahas' last moment in his life, saw Pinchas at his first moment, the Cheshbon still doesn't work because Pinchas would be, it would come out, according to our Cheshbon, Pinchas would be only
there's
6 years younger than Aaron, which is impossible. So if you say like the Chazon Ish, that the 133 of the Pasuk, according to Tariq Milosov, is really 133 years after he gave birth, that means that Kahas was really much older, saw Pinchas much later in Mitzrayim, which then gave the option of spreading out the years from Pinchas to Aaron and makes everything normalized.
There's a book that has the whole timeline, genealogy, like every important person.
I mean, you see anyways without this, there's my focus, so.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it.
They go with the right sheet or whatever sheet they
okay. Third target me on the sun, Amram. So the Pasuk says in Pasuk Chav that Amram was 137 years old. Shnei Chaye Amram Shev Ushloshim Ma'at Shanah. I mean, it is interesting to note on the Chazon Ish that all these Pasukim, when it says how old they were when they died, the beginning of the Pasuk says who they gave birth to, and then how old they were when they died. According to the Chazon Ish, it's like the reason why the two are listed together is to point out that these years are after he gave birth. That's why the Pasuk is Madgish, who they gave birth to, and then how old they were when they died. It means how old they were after they gave birth to them. To look back in Bereishis and see if it works out there also about who, you know, the Yichud. So what does it say here for Amram? It says Amram saw B'nai Rechavya B'nai Gershom Bar Moshe. So Amram gave birth to Moshe. So Amram would have seen Gershom, his grandson, his great-grandson Rechavya, his great-great-grandchild, the sons of Rechavya, the sons of Gershom, the sons of Moshe. What's the problem with this targeting me on the son? The Gemara in Bava Basra. Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Tav Aleph from Abay, says that Amram saw Yaakov.
So what was the first question?
Amram saw his great-great-grandchildren, sons of B'nai Rechavya, B'nai Bar Gershom, Bar Moshe, Bar Amram. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf Tav Aleph from Abay,
says
Amram saw Yaakov. Now let's figure this out. Yaakov was how old when he died? Same number as we always have, 137. How many years was he in Mitzrayim for? 17 years.
Say 14, 17.
It's one of the two.
17 years. So that means that if Amram saw Yaakov in the 17th year, his last year, the 17th year of Mitzrayim, let's add 137 of Amram's life. So 137-17 means Amram would have died 154 into Mitzrayim. When was Moshe born? How many years into Mitzrayim? 130. So we now have 24 years from the time Moshe was born until Amram's death to take care of...
Moshe only had his kid. Moshe didn't have his kid until he was 40.
Hold that thought. We have three generations. It means Moshe needs to give birth to Gershom, then to Rechavya, and then to his kids. Now, according to the Gemara Sanhedrin, that you can give birth at 8 years. Let's do the Cheshbon first. If it was 8 by 8, it would be like this. Moshe gave birth at 130 to Gershom. Okay? No, sorry, 138 to Gershom. Then in the year 146 into Mitzrayim, Gershom gave to Rechavya. Then in the year 154, 8 years later, Rechavya gave to his sons. Amram died as he saw those sons. That would work with the Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin does not. The Gemara goes through a whole Amud to prove that B'doros Rishonim you can give birth at the age of 8. The Gemara doesn't bring this proof. There's other proofs. The Gemara could have brought this as a proof. Now your point. Your point is, we know Moshe gave birth not at the age of 8. He gave it when he was 80. The Maisa with giving Mila.
Right.
Was when he was 80, not at the age of 8. That's why this session won't work. Okay? Who was the son that Moshe did not give Mila to? What? It's not clear. If it was Elazar, then why couldn't Gershom have been born 72 years earlier?
Because Moshe ran away from... He didn't come out of the palace until he was 40. And then he ran away.
Is that in the first in the Pesukim? We can say against that Medrash, okay? Whatever it is, the Targum Yonasan himself says that it was Gershom who
didn't
give
me to. He ran away when he was 8 years old?
I don't know, you're right, everything...
And it doesn't make sense!
Okay, kid, if you're a little puzzled against it, I'm just saying, the bigger kasha I would say is, the Dark Milos himself learns that the kid who he didn't do Milo to was Gershom, not Elazar. Which would mean that,
he was already 80.
Yeah, he was 80 and not 8 years old. So the Cheshman falls off anyways.
Unless he spent 72 years traveling in the...
I'm sorry, Gershom... So maybe we could say that Targum is holding on the Gemara Mekhi Basra, okay? That Amram did not see Yocheved, Amram did not see Yaakov, and then maybe the Cheshman could work out. Okay, maybe that's what you have to say. That's what Chaim Pinchas says, it's holding on the Gemara Mekhi Basra. Because once the Cheshman only... What? Huh? Yeah, that the Gemara Mekhi Basra holds he saw Yaakov, the Targum would have to hold he didn't see Yaakov.
Where's the thread as we stand now, like... Where's the one line? Where, it seems like this thing that's fractured. We're going off of this one and this one and this one and this one.
No.
Where's the...
The only question was if you put the Gemara and Targum with the Gemara of Basra. If it doesn't go together, then it could be Amram. You don't have to make Amram going all the far back to see Yaakov. All
right.
Now, there happens to be an interesting... Just to make this more... there are Philpool. There happens to be an interesting Datsakanim in Datsakanim in Parshas Baaloscha that also is Cholik on the Gemara Mekhi Basra that says that Amram saw Yaakov, because the Datsakanim Baaloscha has Amram living all the way to Matan Torah. It's a wild Datsakanim. We know the Gemara says that Amram was Piresh mi Yocheved. Amram separated from Yocheved. And Eldad and Medad was born during that separation. But there's a machlokes who was Eldad and Medad's parents. The Datsakanim says what happened is when the Torah was given and everyone was Aser Be'arayos, so Amram was Piresh Miyocheved, and Amram married a different woman and gave birth to Eldad and Medad. So if Amram was alive at Matan Torah, maybe that's how he was able to easily see the great grandsons of Moshe.
Then he wouldn't be able to see Yaakov.
Yeah, I'm saying the Datsakanim anyways is holy on is not like the Gemara Mekhi Basra. So maybe you could say, pointing out, maybe the Targum Yonasan is being so mech, is relying on this Datsakanim. The way he was able to say this Cheshbon is because anyways he knew from this Datsakanim Datsakanim came years later, but he knew wherever this came from, wherever the Datsakanim has this Mesorah from. That Amram was live at Mount Torah. Maybe the Targum Yosef is being so mech on that. So you can't say that, because another time Targum Yonasan, the Shitoso, learns not like this Dasakanim. How do I know this? Because by Elder the Maidod in Baha'i Oscha, the Targum Yonasan says, Elder the Maidod's parents, it was not Amram when he was Pirish Me'yocheved, it was from Yocheved when he was Pirish Me'amram. Yocheved remarried when they were Porish, married El Safon, and gave birth to Eldad the Medod. And that happened, according to the Targum Yonasan, that happened years earlier, not at Matan Torah. It doesn't say anything there about meaning, the Targum Yonasan can't have this Masorah that Dr. Kanim says that the Prisha happened at Matan Torah, because he learned to hold it from Maisa to begin with. That Eldad the Medod came from Yocheved and didn't come from Amram. And the Pashup Shah in the Prisha was that when this whole Maisa happened, of the birth of Eldad the Medod, was not at Matan Torah.
Prisha happened at Matan Torah?
So that's the wildness of the Dasakanim. So it sounds like from Dasakanim, the Pashup Shah, the Gemara and Sota is very clear that it was before the birth of Moshe.
If there was a marriage before Matan Torah, do you need to get for after Matan Torah?
It's not going
to
involve in that. That's difficult. It's interesting to note on this, just Agav, on this Targum Yonasan, that means Yocheved was Pirish twice, from Amram once and then from El Tzafan to remarry Amram again. It's not so pashut if you get divorced twice, if she's, it's a machlokas, Rashi Tosfos Yomos, if she could get remarried again.
The first wife.
Oh, it's the same one. It's a separate problem of
Machzer Gerushasso.
It's a separate problem of Machzer Gerushasso.
Right. After, and this would be after Matan Torah.
Right. So they talk about that also.
You can go into the discussion of whether they kept going for a pool.
You can go. The way out would be that the kiddushin before Matan Torah doesn't create the Yisra Machzer Gerushasso after Matan Torah.
Right.
Or no. I'm sorry. No. If they got remarried before Matan Torah, which is the pasha.
Who got remarried? Gershon.
Yocheved remarried Amram. The pasha pshat is the remarried him before Matan Torah, so then it could be for Matan Torah also, there's no problem. But if they kept, you're right, then it would be totally if they kept Kol Torah Kula or not.
Good they kept Kol Torah Kula, but the Kedushin wasn't said about Kedushin.
Yeah, that gets complicated with, for what laws, yeah, what laws, no. It gets complicated. So that's the end of the Cheshbonos of the Targum Yonasan. We mentioned two things, Agav, pertinent to the partial that let's discuss further. We mentioned in the Cheshbon that Aaron was 84 when he left Mitzrayim, and Moshe was 81, right? Because the pasuk says here in Parshas Va'era, Perek Zion, pasuk Zion, Umoshe ben Shmonim Shana, V'Aaron ben Shlalo Shmonim Shana, B'Davarim El Paro. When he spoke to Paro, it was 80 and 83. Okay, so that's why we said Aaron was 84 when he left Mitzrayim, and Moshe was 81. Because it took 1 year for the Makos to happen. As the Mishnah Edges says, that was 1 year. There's a simple question on this, though. How old was Moshe when he died?
120.
How many years were they in the Midbar?
40.
What's 120 minus 40?
He died in the last year.
That should be 80. Years. That should be 80 years. 81.
39.
You hear the Kasha?
Wait, everyone hear the Kasha? How old was he when?
It says in this pasuk, in my era, that he was 80 when he stood in front of Paro.
Yeah.
He was 120 when he died.
And it took a year for the Makos.
So the isn't this in Kedushin?
It says 120 full years in Kedushin.
What
the
do you
Chasim,
mean?
So the Chasim
birthday, he was born in Adar.
Oh, so there you go. They left years, and it's like it's the day before year 121.
A month after his birthday, right?
For all the answers, the Chasim Sofer in Shuvah. Chasim Sofer, write down this Chasim Sofer. Chelik Vav Simin Chavtes says the following Lashon, Tzorach Ani Li Rav Bishanim Shal Moshe. I need a Rebbe to figure out the years of Moshe. And he then asked this question, 80 and 1 and 40 is 121, not 120. Now throw out all your answers. What do you want to say the answers are?
They left. He turned 81 on Adar.
Okay.
Adar, Zion Adar.
Yeah.
He left 4 or 5 weeks later.
Yeah?
Yudalid Nisan. Whatever. Right?
That makes him 121, buddy.
Then
he dies Zion Adar.
He dies on his birthday, the 39th year.
Ah.
they have the Dagger before Pesach. They had one last Pesach in the Midbar.
So why is that
before they went into the...
Why is that called 40 years?
It was one more year. I'm saying...
Then it's 39 years, not 40 years.
It was in the 40 year. It was in the 48th year that they went into... It was in the 40th year or the 41st year that they went into Pesach.
It says they were in the Midbar for 40 years. You're learning that to be 39 full years. Hold on. What was your answer?
Year. I said that if you live for 120 full years,
yeah,
then you're just about to the 121st year. So then you're
just
days off.
You're about to the 121st. Okay.
And then you're a few days off. So he's still technically 120. Yet when you had a possession, because you're not calculating those few days, then you reach 121.
It can't be. He died on his birthday. You can't be a few days off. He turned either 120
turned,
or 121.
Right, so what did
on the
he
day
turn?
He died.
Did he turn 120 or turn 121? Sure. On
you
died.
Can't be a few days off, that's my point. Is your
okay,
it's
so
a full year or not a full year?
I'm not familiar, so maybe he turned... Did he turn 121 on his birthday?
What do we count the years?
Oh, you're trying to say it was... Fine, so it doesn't
yeah,
have... So you're saying...
Years, and then when he
both,
died on his birthday...
We're both saying the same thing.
Yeah,
exactly. No.
You got it.
Either it's a...
Maybe you count
well, either it's a most of a year.
I'm saying, but is there any non-commitment between
of 40
that?
Years? Yeah. It's not a full complete years. Or
what I'm
it's
just thinking.
Okay. Almost 120, one,
so
almost
the
chasm, almost 21 years. We're saying the same.
Right.
Just what added on the front
the
of
the Chasm Sofer himself answers that when the Torah says here 80, it means 80th year, which means Moshe was 79. Really 79 and Aaron was 82. And 120 means 120 full years, like his mashma over there. And the Torah can contrast the
and
two.
When
the,
how
and
long
by the way,
Moshe died, did they go
one second.
To Yisrael? They didn't go in for a while because they spent 90 days mourning him, right?
30 days.
30 days.
So, one second. Let's just go according to this. So, just to point out what we said before, when Rav Chaim Kanievsky said by the cheshbon of the Targum Yonasan that Pinchas was 78 and Aaron was 84, according to the Chasam Sofer, Aaron was really 83. Not 84, which now gives us 5 years between Aaron and Pinchas. That's a side point. The Chasam Sofer says when it says in this pasuk he was 80 years. I'm bringing back this to the Targum Yonasan. The Chasam Sofer says it says here they were 80 and 83 and 5 standing apart. It means 80th year of his life. Not that he lived 80 full years. So that's 79, which gives you 41 full years. Okay, which means that Aaron was 82 when he stood in front of Paro, which means he was 83. When he left Mitzrayim, which gives us 5 years, not 6 years. Because maybe he's not so... I think he ends up with Tzarechi, and if he can say this answer. But mine says a lot of other answers that you can come up with. I'm not going to discuss
it
now.
Wait, it was
the
full year... They walked into Paro in Yudalid Nisan?
Doesn't say when here.
Maybe it wasn't a full year. Something, it's a dialect to say the dates worked out, everything was exactly perfect. Somewhere you're going to have not a complete year.
Moscow.
You have to, but in somewhere.
Now, where does the Chasam Sofer get this from, that you can say the Torah sometimes means, or that you can say sometimes it means full years, and sometimes it means into that year? There's a famous example by the Mishnah Avos. Yud Gimel the Mitzvahs, and Yud Ches Lechuppah. 13 lemitzvos, we know, means 13 full years. When the Mishnah says Shmona Esrei Lechuppah, does it mean 18 full years? Or does it mean into your 18th year and really you're 17 years old? The Rambam says 17 years. And the Pshat is that the Rambam means that learning the Mishnah of Yud Ches Lechuppah is in the 18th year. Even though in that very same Mishnah, it says Yud Gimel Lemitzvos, and there it means 13 full years. A lot of the course to discuss this. The Forshim and Shulchan Aruch, Rashashing Suvis, Bechule. So that's the Chasam Sofer's approach. Okay, that's a side point. Let's go on. We also mentioned... and by the way, no, just one more point about this 18th year. The Pasuk says beforeish that Yosef was 17 years old when the Maisa happened with the brothers. Binyamin named his kids everything based on the happening based on the happenings of Yosef's life. It's a Rashi and Chumash. It's a Gemara. Two of his sons were called Mupim v'Chupim. Okay. So Rashi, the Gemara says, Ruchim Chupim is Vinyamin is saying, I didn't see Yosef's Chupim, and Yosef didn't see my Chupim. We weren't at each other's wedding. The Targum Yonasan, we're seeing a lot of Targum Yonasan today. The Targum Yonasan says, you know why he's called Chupim? Maybe it was Mupim. I think it was Chupim. Because that's how old Yosef was. He was at the age of Roy L'Chupa when he got sold.
Oh, he was only 17.
He was 17! Oh, it's Araya, the Targum Yonasan. Targum Yonasan. Soraya.
I don't get it. These people were having kids at 8 years old.
Longer than a year?
No. The Mechira happened right... Mechira.
No, I know. I'm saying he didn't see my Chupa because he was sold at 17. It could also be that he was 18. That's not a riot. He's not saying that why that 17
he didn't see my chuppah was a different shot. Targum Yonasan says the reason why it's called chuppah is nothing to do with because I didn't see his chuppah.
Oh,
it's because that's how old he was
when
he got
sold. These people were having kids at 8 years old.
What's that got married? What's that doing anything? You're asking
they don't want to get married?
I don't know why.
It's not like that. No.
Akash, I'm talking about here. Why are you calling it Roy L'Chuppah then?
If you have all these people afterwards, you're trying to tell them they're...
I hear.
Anyways, the whole thing is a little bit to say, like, the whole thing with Aaron and with Moshe and his kids, and everyone had kids when they were 8 years old. But what are the chances of getting married at 8 years old?
We already asked Akasha before. We're on to new stuff now. Fine. So that's that. Now we mentioned the Pasuk, says Mefurish here, that Amram married Yocheved. Okay? Right? In Pasuk, Chav, Yikach Amram is Yocheved Dodosta Lo Leisha. Famous problem, we know you're not allowed to marry your aunt. And Ramban posts as an example about how they did not keep the Torah in Chutz La'aretz. Okay? But there's a mistake, a common mistake that everybody makes. Very nice, that's going to explain why Amram was not careful not to marry his aunt, Kfidinei HaTorah, even though Amram kept the Kol Torah Kula, the Ramban's assuming. In Chutz La'aretz, he didn't keep it. What? Amram? I don't remember. But there's a bigger problem. Midinei Ben Noach, which they definitely kept, Arayos is one of the Dinei Ben Noach, is marrying your aunt one of these Thurim for a Ben Noach. So it's Machlokas and Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin
can't relate it by blood, just to clarify. Not like your father's brother's
that
wife.
That would be your...
Not your father's
brother's father's
wife, but somebody by...
Your father's...
Somebody that's
your
father's related.
Sister. Yeah.
One second, Dino Ben Noach is still the Torah.
Dinei Ben Noach was what?
Still the Torah.
No.
What do you mean?
Meaning it's saying they only kept...
There's two separate discussions. Dinei Ben Noach they definitely kept. They were at the very least Ben Noach. If they had Din Yisrael or not, but they were Ben Noach. The discussion... Avram Kaim Kol Torah Kula, and maybe Avram as well, it's a separate discussion, did they keep Taryag or not?
Right.
But they definitely kept Dinei Ben Noach. Okay. So how can he marry Dodasa? So it's Machlokas on the head in Nunches, Machlokas on the head, Rabbi Elazar Bekiva. Did they keep Inyonei Achva? Any Arayos dealing, which were sister related, could have been Noach marry his sister, marry his aunt, etc. That's Machlokas number one, Rabbi Elazar Bekiva. Side point number two is the Dinei Ben Noach only applied to Korva Min Ha'em and not Min Ha'av. Only if the relation is from the mother, not from the father. So if you have a half-sister from the father's side, everybody agrees that no one would answer that. Everybody agrees there's no problem to marry a half-sister from the father's side for Dinei Ben Noach. The Gemara asks, on the Tana that says that you can't marry Achva, you can't marry sisters or aunts for Dinei Ben Noach, the Gemara asks, how did Amram marry Yocheved? A separate discussion from the Ramban about did they keep Kol Torah Kula, Chutz La'aretz. Dinei Ben Noach, how did Amram marry Yocheved? The Gemara says, it's a Raya that there's no Isser Achva for Dinei Ben Noach. That, like, you could marry your sister, you could marry your aunt.
No, maybe it's because it was his father.
Good. So the Gemara says back, it's no Raya. That the relationship from Amram to Yocheved Dodoso was only an aunt mitzad the Av and not mitzad the Aim, which means that Kahath and Yocheved shared the same father, i.e. Levi, But Levi would be muchach from this Gemara. That Levi had two separate wives. Amram ben Kehas is siblings with Yocheved. That's how she. That's how he's an aunt. That's why she's an aunt to him. So when we say it's mina av and not mina aim.
Amram ben Kehas.
No, Yocheved was Kehas' sister, right?
Yes.
Gershon Kehas. Kehas gave birth to
Amram.
And Yocheved.
Yocheved was Kehas' sister.
Oh.
Kehas gave birth to Amram. So Kehas married
and Kehas and Yocheved
were mina av and not mina aim, which means that Levi had two different wives. One gave birth to Yocheved. One gave birth to Kehas. Now, I have a raya for this. Yes?
What? No.
What's so confusing?
Because Kehas gave birth to Amram, right?
Yes.
Now, it's, oh, you're saying that the thing you're not going to marry is mitzad your father or mitzad how they are related, how the brother and sister are related?
However the Isser appears, the Isser of an aunt.
The Isser of my aunt appears because it's my father's sister, not my mother's sister.
Right, so it's
sister.
Their relation. I'm only related to my aunt. Through their them being siblings.
So it's through
but
them.
If them being siblings is from the Av and the Aim, then there's no Isser.
So it is a step removed. It's not through your father, it's through their
father. Alright, what's your question?
So, why it only applies if it's from. Okay.
Yeah.
From the Aim, not the Av.
Right. So
but not from you, from how they're related.
Correct. So according to the Gemara's Lechia, according to this Tana, that there really is an Isser Achva. But in this case it was Mutter, because it's only Mina Av and not Mina Aim. That means the Levi had two wives, one gave birth to Yocheved, one gave birth to Kehas. There's a Das the Canaan, the Mivalei Tosvos, in Bamidbar somewhere, I forgot where in Bamidbar, that where the Pasuk says, it's going through the Yichus, and it says, Vayikach Osa Lelevi, I forgot the exact Pasuk, it says, Vayikach Levi Osa, when it mentions that Levi gave birth to Yocheved, it says, Vayikach Levi Osa, Levi took her and gave birth to Yocheved, her referring to being his wife. Das HaKenim says, Levi's wife was named Osa. Vayikach Levi Osa, Levi took, Lashon Kiddushin, Osa. The diuk he's saying is, it never says in the earlier psukim that Levi doesn't mention Levi's wife, doesn't say Osa. I really should get the pasuk, but if this is the only pasuk where it mentions Osa as Levi's wife, and here it only mentions giving birth to Yocheved and not to Kehas, you could say a diuk that right now, not right now, but that Levi took Osa as a wife and gave birth to Yocheved, which was later going down to Mitzrayim. And it's very Medulic in the Pasuk. I forget where it is in Bimidbar. But we know Yocheb was born on the way to Mitzrayim, and Kehas was first. So Levi first had a wife. And the Prat, if there's a whole Shiloh, if their wives, Rashi Bevorns, why in the Cheshbon of Shivan Nefesh Yodel Mitzrayim, what happened to the Shvatim's wives? Why aren't they mentioned?
They didn't come down.
So Rashi says they died. It's machlokas if they came down. I think your mom says they're not counted. I forgot, but Rashi Mefurish says that they died.
Right, I've heard that.
Right?
They had all already died.
Right. So Lemaisa, how did he give? So who's the woman that gave birth to Yocheved, Ben Achomos? So I don't know where she is in the Cheshbon.
Kehas was born. Kehas was born first. Kehas was already born.
The Shivim Yordu LeMitzrayim. I think the Shivim is it Boim or Yordu? Who did he marry? I don't know why the woman he married is not in the Cheshbon. I don't know why she's not one of 70. But the answer is he married Osa and gave birth, and Osa was the one, is the mother that gave birth to Yocheved. I'm saying these Cheshbonos work out beautifully with the Gemara in Sanhedrin that says Tam Medechiyah. Weren't Kehas and Yocheved siblings both in the Av and the Aim? No, they only were siblings inside the Av and not inside the Aim. So that means Levi had two eyes. Can we prove this? Sure, yeah. With the Cheshbon of they died beforehand. With these Mekoros.
You could fit.
I found it also. Party Yosef in this week's Parsha speaks out a lot of this as well. Party
Yosef. There's no proving anything.
No. with the Das Kingdom, that it's Osar, and that there's a Hadgasha of Dafka in by the Leda of Yocheved. It says Vayikach Osar Likach Levi Osar.
So very nice. It's a right. It's not proof. It fits in. Very nice.
Adrab, if according to Rashi that the wives died, Smuchas they had two wives, Bulu the Gemara's Havamina that they were related from the mother, that they had that they shared the same parents Lagamri, it wouldn't make sense. You could ask the other way around. Okay. Let's go on.
Yeah.
Nah, whatever. We have a famous topic of Akash Baruch Hu was Aksha Le Paro. So famous question of how could Akash Baruch Hu take away the Bechira of Paro? So just two approaches. The Chofetz Chaim al Torah says that even though everybody could do tshuva, even Paro could do tshuva, there's two different kinds of tshuva. There's tshuva that comes about from
Ava and Yira.
No, that's true as well. But there's tshuva that one does on his own. One's misorer himself to the tshuva, and there's a tshuva which Akash Baruch Hu can help you. Hashiveinu, we ask for Hashiveinu. Tshuva shleim olafanecha. Akash Baruch Hu can help us do tshuva. Akash Baruch Hu took away that extra siyua, that help from that could have got for tshuva from Menashamayim. That was hardening Paro's heart. But Paro still could have done tshuva mitzal atma. We've taken a lot more. We would have gotten the help. That could be a way that you could miyashiv how he still had bechira. And he says the famous Gemara that Acher heard a baskol that said Acher had a baskol that said shuvu bonim shovim chutz me Acher. Everyone can do tshuva except for Acher. So Acher saw he can't do tshuva. Acher's mistake was that baskol was saying that he won't get help min hashamayim for the tshuva. But it wasn't that there was taking away from him the option of doing tshuva on his own. There's another pshat for how Kosh Baruch Hu was Maksha Le Paro, that when Kosh Baruch Hu hardened his heart, it was that he was able to be Sovel Mor Tsar. Imagine somebody could just take a lot of punches, okay? That hardening his heart, almost like a literal sense, is it's not that Paro still had the chance to do tshuva. It's just he was able to take a lot more pain after all the makos. He still was able to say, I can handle this, and that's not taking away his bechira.
So then what do you get after number 5, then Hashem hardened his heart?
What do you
mean? It seems that then Hashem took away the ability to do tshuva even with sadasma.
Why? No, every time it says actually paro, it means it was just, I mean, I don't know what's being added each time, but it was maybe like a further madriga of taking away a kosher of himself. But really, he always had the bechira.
Okay,
well,
meaning during the first 5, he even had Hashem's help. After 5, then Hashem took it away.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Fine. Who says that?
This is the it's the Lomi Peloshim. I didn't see it. I heard it quite.
Okay.
We'll skip a few of the early makos by Orov. So we're here now in Perechet Pasuk Yud Zayin. Very interesting pasuk by the Orov. The pasuk mentions. Kinanim mashliach b'cho uv'avodecho uv'amcho v'atecho es ha'orov umolu botei Mitzrayim es ha'orov v'gam ha'adam asher hem aleha. I'm going to send all of the animals and the land which they're upon. Rashi says ha'orov kol minei chayos roos v'nechoshim v'akrovim. So why does the pasuk say that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to send the land that's on it as well? So the Gra has a wild shot over here that there's a famous Mishnah in Kilayim, Periches, Mishnah Hey. Let's read the Mishnah inside. Okay. it mentions something called Adnei Hasodeh. What is this Adnei Hasodeh? What is in it's a kind of chaya. Look, the Rav, chaya hagadela besados. It grows in the field. There's a big root that comes from the ground. Shagodlabo osa chaya.
I was just talking about that weird thing.
Ushma yadua, who yidoni? It's called the yidoni, the same yidoni that's mentioned in the Torah. And it's connected from its belly button with that rope that goes to the aretz, and it's surah adam. The parts of the yadayim, but it has a face, a hand, and legs. The ankle barrier rishal lekarvla. No one can get close to this animal-looking plant because it kills anything that comes in its way. And when you want to capture it, look the rav. You throw an arrow at the rope until it cuts off. And that's the way you kill it.
How come we've never found this animal?
Yeah.
How come we've never found this
animal? They're extinct, though.
Someone talked about that. I forgot. Someone mentioned that. There's a famous...
Someone who?
I have to find it again. The Pharisee...
No, I'm saying, like, what type of person?
I'll find on the Sefer that explains why we don't find it. The Pharisee Yisrael actually learns differently here and describes this Adnei Hasodeh to be called an orangutan. Sits at a table with a fork and knife. Okay. Anyways, the Gra says that this Adnei Hasodeh, so if the way you kill it is you can't get near it because it's gonna kill you. The only way you kill it is to kill its rope which connects it to the ground. So the problem here is as follows. Rashi says that Kosh Berkel brought Arov. Call me nay chayos rose. All kind of chayos rose. You have a thing here called Adnei Hasodeh. How did the Kosh Baruch Hu bring the Adnei Hasodeh? If the second it gets detached from the ground, it's gonna die. Its life force comes from the ground, is what the Rav explained. That's why what's the problem? Rashi says the Kosh Baruch Hu sent all call me nay chayos rose. There's a problem. How did the Kosh Baruch Hu send this Adnei Hasodeh to the Mitzrim? What? That's the answer. That's why the Torah says V'gam ha'adam asher him aleha. The Kosh Baruch Hu sent the land with the animals because
the animal survived.
I thought that was a better answer.
Well, that is another approach that the animals. There is a Gemara that says that animals are, if they're not in their environment, they're not going to kill. We're in Erev and Samach Aleph, so you need to send the Adama, they should be in their environment. That's a more
circus master.
Yeah, that's a straight approach.
So this is the guy who died trying to tame the lion.
But the Gra says that the Hadgasha of the Adama is to make it that the Adnei Hasodeh should be able to live. Okay. Now keep in mind that Rashi says Kol Chayos Raos. We're going to come back to this momentarily. Let's move over to Dever. By Dever, there's an interesting steer in the Psukim, Kanera. In Perek Tes, Pasuk Vov and Pasuk Zion. After the Dever is introduced, so Hashem brought the Dever. Vayomoth Kol Miknei Mitzrayim, all of their livestock died. Umimiknei Bnei Yisrael Lo Meisachad. From the livestock of Bnei Yisrael, none of them died. Next pasuk, Vayishlach Paro Vihine. So Paro sent down messengers. Vihine Lo Meis Mimiknei Yisrael Ad Echad. Vayichfad Lei Paro Velo Shilach Esam. Lo Meis. Here it says Mimiknei Yisrael. Doesn't say Bnei Yisrael. Last pasuk it said Mimiknei Bnei Yisrael Lo Meis Echad. Here it says Mimiknei Yisrael, not Bnei Yisrael. Question number one. Question number two. It says Lo Meis Ad Echad, which is mashma until one didn't die, but one Jew's livestock did die. Who is this Jew's livestock that died? The previous pasuk says no one died. Lo Meis Echad. That's the question.
Adamant, like even.
Until one, but one did. That's the deal. So. Many Svarim all here have the Mahalich. Very interesting Mahalich. Famous Ramban in Parshas Emor by the Mikhalel. Right? Someone look in the Psukim, someone Perichov Dalin. Vayete ben Isha Yisraelis, Behu ben Ish Mitzri, Betokhne Yisrael. Vayinotu b'machaneh, vayikov, he cursed. Makala, put him in the mishmar. So the one who cursed was the son of an Isha Yisraelis, and was also the son of an Ish Mitzri. As the pasuk says, v'shem imo shlomis bas divri l'mate dan. As you're about to say, Rashi points out, who was the Mitzri? The one that Moshe killed. Now, if Moshe killed the Mitzri, that means that the son was alive for the Makos. And...
Right, he was...
Yeah, because yeah, he's alive. He's alive in the Midbar as well. Okay, so now, does this Ben Mitzri Ben Yisraelis have a din of a Jew or a Goy? So that discussion, which we always talk about, if the Kodesh and Torah, they have a din of Yisrael or Ben Noach, this Ramban is the Mar Makom. The Ramban on this pasuk in this parak Chav Dalet and Emor
before
brings
the after the father.
Brings the Machlokas Rishonim about this. If before Mount Torah didn't Ben Noach then Yisrael. And he says, that which we hold, that you go after the mother, meaning Goy Habor Bas Yisrael, Havlad Kosher, that is the din of Yisrael, is only Acher Matan Torah. Kodem Matan Torah, it goes Acher HaZachar. Which means that Halacha, this Mikalil, had a din of a Goy.
That's why all the other, everyone's going to marry non-Jews.
Yeah. Discussed it numerous times before. So, Lamaisa, according to this Ramban,
the problem becomes, who did the women marry?
Let's not get off track here. According to Ramban, this Mikalil had a din of a Mitzri, correct? Now, so that's why the pasuk says, "Umimiknei b'nei Yisrael lo meisachod." To be madgish from b'nei Yisrael, this person, even though his mother is Yisrael, he's not b'nei Yisrael. So even though his livestock died, he's a Mitzri, but from b'nei Yisrael, none of it died. Paro saw this Mikalel. Paro saw where was this person being raised? The Jewish camps with his mother. Okay. So Paro thought that he was a Jew. You could have said differently. You could have said Paro knew what his yichus was, and Paro held, not like the Ramban, Paro held he was a Jew. You could have said like that, but we're going to go, the Sfarim say a different approach, that Paro didn't know who he was and thought he was being raised in the Jewish camp. And he said, now Moshe promised that none of the livestock from the Jews are going to die. The Pasuk says in Pasuk Dalet, V'lo yamos mikol livnei Yisrael davar. Nothing will die from the Jewish livestock. And Paro saw that the behemoth of this person died. So Paro was like, Moshe, you're a liar. So Paro said, Lo meis mimikne Yisrael ad echad. But one livestock, the livestock of one person did die. That's the deal of echad. Because this public Zion is talking about the context of Paro. So Paro saw that he thought that one person's livestock died. Okay? Therefore, Vayich by Lev Paro, that's why there was a Kvedas Lev, that Paro's Lev was hardened. He got upset. Moshe, you're a liar. You said none of the livestock from the Jews are going to die. And here one person died. And that also answers why it says here, Mimiknei Yisrael, and not Miknei B'nei Yisrael. Because Emes La'amito, Lomes B'nei Yisrael, it was Lomes Mimiknei Yisrael. From the Jewish livestock, no animals died. It's like Lahadgish.
So okay. Keep all your questions and don't say any died. Say odd means stumped and not even one. No questions. I'm like, why do you have to make questions and not answer them?
Why is the previous one say Lomes Echad and here says Ad Echad? About this for a deal. Now, there's an interesting Medrash I could quote as well.
It's Paro talking, isn't it?
No. It's a puzzle from his focus. Which I probably named Lo Meis. Sounds like it's not him talking. The Medrash and Emor by the Mikalo darshans the pasuk of Bas Divri. This is a Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash says, Laman Hey, Laman Beis Hey. Bas Divri, why is it called Bas Divri? Shehevia Dever Abunah, that she brought Dever on her son. What in the world does that mean? So according to this Teshpin, shot is...
She didn't bring it.
Cinch.
She didn't do it. But she was...
Menachem, don't be so cynical.
She was not as her.
Since she was Mizana.
She was Mizana. He was not as her.
The mystery?
Yeah.
You have a may have a McCor?
I thought I could be wrong, but I thought that's... It says there was no Zenos at all, not even Ma'anis. This was the only one. That's what I thought.
Zenos, that means that she was Mizana, maybe.
No, and this was the only case of
Zenos. So she was
someone being Ma'anis.
Ma'anis? I thought it was Zenos. Anyways, if she was Mizana, and the Vlad has been of the father.
She caused him
to be non-Jewish, and she caused his livestock to die. That's why Vehavia Dever Albanar. Now, you said, no, we'll save for this one. Okay, fine. Now, Borod. Very interesting Rashi by Borod. By Borod, the Pasuk says that in Pasuk Chaf, where is this? As Kol Magefo Soi. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Ani Sholeach as Kol Magefo Soi El Libcha through Boron. What's Kol Magefo Soi? Zot Rashi, Lamanu Mikan, Shemakas Bechoro Shkula Kenega Kolamakos. Very strange Rashi. Because by Borod it says, Kol, I'm going to give all my Magefos, you see from this that Makas Bechoros is Shokul Kenega Kol Hamakos. So you'll see in the Rashi here, it says, Nusach Acher Batsores, Shemakas Batsores Shkula Kenega Kolamakos, which means famine, because the Borod caused all of the crops to be destroyed. Okay? And there's other pshatim that it means bechoros from Lashon bikurim, the crops as well. So it's very hard to say it's going on makas bechoros. It should be going on that boron is connected kulam. I also saw a pshat that the Lashon that was written was mikan shemem beis shkula connected kulam makos, which meant makas boron. The one who was matfis it thought Membeis stood for Makas Bechoros and made a total error. Okay? Whatever it is, Rashi seems to be saying that Makas Borod is Kenega Kol Makos. So the Gros says upshot. The Gros says that Kosh Baruch Hu always uses three tools to get back at nations. Eish, Mayim, and Ruach. He says, Eish by stone, Mayim by Umabo, Ruach by Dor HaFloga, that he caused them to be spread out. The first is Ruach, spreading them throughout the world. By the Makos, you see all three come up. Dam Tzvardeya, Mayim. Shchin, Eish. Arbe, spoils. By Arbe, it says Mefurish in the Pasuk Ruach.
I mean, Borod.
Borod is all three. Eish and Mayim was mixed together in the hail. And it says, Vashem Nosem Kolos Uborod. Kolos is thunder, which is through winds as well. So that as Koma Gefosai Zakagra, through Eish, Mayim, and Ruach all existed in Makas Borod. A side point I wanted to point out is Koma Gefosai. Sorry. Doesn't belong here. This is really... Okay, that would be Borod. Go back to Dever for a second. We had this theory about what is everyone from... Is it Lomais Is it, forget, never mind, never mind. Okay, one more. Moshe left the city to be Mispalel. Pasuk Chof Tes. Perak Tes, Pasuk Chof Tes. After Borog. Vayomer Elav Moshe Ketzesias Ha'ir, Epros Eskapai El Hashem. I will put my hands up to Hashem. He couldn't daven in the city because it was full of Avodah Zarah. He put his hands up. There's a Truvas Be'er Sheva that quotes from here amongst other places in the Torah, but we'll focus on here. That you see the derech that there used to be Mispalel was to put your hands up. Why
was
don't...
So that they would all look up.
What?
Wasn't it so they would all look up to Jemayim and then they would daven?
Who's they?
What is this talking about?
Moshe Rabbeinu was Mispalel. Ephros es kapai. I put my hands up to daven.
When was this?
After Makas Borog.
Oh.
Okay, so Beersheva wants to know, why don't we daven this way? Why don't we daven with our hands up?
Some people do.
Yes, certain sects of Hasidim do. But for the most part, we don't. And he says, don't tell me that this is only for, like, the Manhigim should do this, but the Stam Am should. And he brings a picture of Eliezer that really everyone in Klal Yisrael back then, whatever it was, you daven with your hands up. So why don't we do it? So there's different answers there. Some say Yenichanami, some ignore the Pirkei Eliezer and say that only the Manhigim should daven with their hands up, not the Hamona Am. Some say that when you do this, you have to be Mechavim in Yonim Neflim, you have to have the appropriate Kavana, we're not at that Madrega, to daven with our hands up. The Be'er Sheva quotes the Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud, says Rava Pachar Yodeh Lisluye. When Rava davened, he was Pachar Yodeh. Which the Pashup Shat, Rambam learns, is he put one hand on top of the other hand. Be'er Sheva wants to... Rava. The Be'er Sheva wants to know, why didn't any of the Rishonim learn Pachar Yodeh meant he put his hands up in toward Shemayim? So Be'er Sheva says, Lulei Divrei Rishonim, the Pshat in that Gemara is, maybe that he put his hands up, and when he put his hands up, they were interlocked. So I guess Rava would daven like this.
Interesting.
The Zohar, the portion bring the Zohar, that the Zohar often says you should daven with your hands up. The Yesod Shoresh HaAvoda in Shar Gimel Perek Aleph says you should daven with your hands up, make sure the hands are spread far apart, not together. Not like this Be'er Sheva. B'machokas Be'er Sheva, Yesod Shoresh HaAvoda. If you should daven with your hands up together or apart. The Be'er Sheva Lamaisa answers, why don't we do this? Because since the Goyim started to daven this way, with their hands up, so it becomes like Isser Bamos, that it's not pleasant to bring a Bama once the Goyim started to do this, so what used to be nice became Usser, or became not nice, so too us putting our hands up with davening became not nice once the Goyim started to do it. Maybe if the Goyim stopped davening that way, according to Be'er Sheva, we will all start davening that way again. Rabbi Kiv Eger in Shulchan Aruch brings it to Be'er Sheva LaHalacha. The first Rabbi Kiv Eger in Orach Chaim by Hilchos Tefillah, Pesimin Pei Tes, says that the reason we don't do this is because Umas Olam do this. Yeah, what?
I was going
to
say.
Yeah, they didn't talk about interlocked or hand one hand on top of the other. Yeah. Okay. Adkan.
Go. Thanks.
How do you say stuff like that?